Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's good, the bad, and the dumb. In a throwback Thursday, 1984, Doug Flutie wins the Heisman Trophy on this date. But, you know, that was good, but not as good as the good of the day.
Well, I'm having issues because I don't know what's good to talk about.
Oh, okay, so there's multiple goods?
There's multiple goods, but I think, you know what, I think I'm going to lean more towards the Jets.
All right.
Because, you know, the Jets have had a lot of bad lately, and I think this could be, it could be a good. Because there's a state senator that wants the Jets to move back to the Queens.
Oh, okay.
And that way the football would actually be, the New York Jets would actually be playing in New York for the first time.
They used to play at Chase Stadium.
Yeah. And so there's a project going on. I can't remember, but New York, what is it, New York FC? Not the Red Bulls,
there,
the other New York,
a,
the soccer
complex.
Team.
Yeah, they're talking about building a soccer complex.
They're planning on building a soccer complex in Queens, but there could be enough. And obviously, that's not going to be big enough for the Jets. But it could be. There's enough room on that in that area to build an NFL stadium. And so they're really making a push. Like, hey, we're already building this. Why not build this? Get the Jets to come back. Because the Jets and the Giants can opt out of their lease in 2024.
Oh, they just built that stadium.
Yeah, but you know the rules.
Why didn't they lock those teams in forever? That was a multi-billion dollar stadium.
Of course. Every stadium is a multi-billion dollar
stadium. Well, it wasn't then. Back then. I mean, when Jerry Jones built his, he topped a billion, and that became the first one. They were building it like right afterwards, and people were talking about how much more expensive the labor was in New York, and it was going to be over a billion. Yeah, now stadiums are $2 billion.
But I don't think you can get $1 billion.
That stadium is new, but it's not newer. It's not SoFi, and it doesn't have a roof. It doesn't have a retractable roof. It's just a stadium. But it was very expensive based on the land and the labor costs in New York. I mean, you should read about when they do subway stuff. People making $400 an hour based on different parameters of where it's crazy. But nevertheless, they just built it.
Yeah.
I mean, not that long ago. I mean, within what, 10 years? MetLife Stadium? And the Jets and the Giants could just leave?
Yeah.
What are they going to do with
it? I'm sorry, 2025. I was off by my years.
Still, though,
so
that's
they can
still
opt out
coming
2025.
Up?
Yeah. No, I mean, literally, that's right around the corner. And if you break ground on a stadium, say, today, you would have it ready by 2025. Yeah.
So, big question on this. Did the article or did the information say that this was actually a thing that could happen, or was this just a politician's, I'll just throw it out there and just see what people say?
It could be a politician's thing, just throwing it out there, but there seems to be kind of a movement to like, hey, let's bring them back to New York. Because, I mean, they, like you said, they played in Chase Stadium.
They played in Chase Stadium.
All the way up until like 83, I believe.
In fact, when I was a kid, I had a Jets pennant. That shows a jet, yeah, jet figure flying out of, it's very old, flying out of Shea Stadium. I wonder if I still have that around in my collection. But yeah, I used to have that.
But, I thought the Jets should get some good run because they've had a lot of negativity as of late.
Yeah.
Especially since, the big talk is, maybe the impending divorce of the Jets and Zach Wilson.
Well, remember that for many, many years they used to play in Giants Stadium. They didn't even play in Jets Stadium.
Right.
They played in Giants. It was called Giants Stadium. So it was like, ugh, we're like paying rent, on the police. So when they built MetLife, they built it so that there was like the Jets had an equal sort of presence in the stadium that the Giants had. And, we'll see. But I don't know.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But, I'll share the other good because I'm keeping with the royal theme because the Jets move into Queens. But the other royal news in America was that the, guess what, King-to-be?
Yeah.
Prince
King
Charles.
William, Prince William?
Or not Prince Charles. Prince William and Princess Kate took in a Celtics game.
They're very popular.
Sat courtside. And it just dawned on me. It's like we don't send NBA games to London, do we?
We did, but
yeah, we did.
Do we do that still?
We don't do it anymore.
We don't do it anymore. There's no one's going to play at O Arena this year. But I remember, like the Knicks played there like last year or something.
Yeah, he apparently he knows basketball.
Well, yeah,
because Jason Tatum was going off, and he turned to Kate and said, "He's good."
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good that the Prince realized that Jason Tatum was a good basketball player.
Especially when Jason Tatum throwing up 49 points.
Now, does he know NFL? Because we've exported that product over there a few times. Does he know NFL?
Did he ever go?
Yeah, does he
go to a game? I don't know.
What a life he has, huh? King in waiting.
That's all. I mean, he literally is just waiting for his dad to die so he can get his job.
That's the tough thing about being royalty, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you don't want your father or mother to die, but at the same time, you're like, but I get to be...
King William sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, I don't want to say the K word, but you know what I mean? It's like terrible.
Yeah.
It's like...
It really is.
It really is. I mean... Like,
make a rule, like, you know, at one point, you know, Charles just says, I'm just going to retire.
I know the world has been filled with plenty of stories of successful patriarchs who've run companies where the son is like, I can't wait till dad dies so I can take the company over. We've had all those kind of weird, bizarre stories. But when you are a prince or a princess or whatever, you are groomed to eventually take the job. Like, your whole life is around... one day you being this individual.
Right.
So you are basically taught from infancy on that one day you will have all of this and you better be ready to do it. And so you train and you work and you understand the role and you understand the job and you understand the protocol. And then it's unfortunate, but why there's a desire to have it. Right. So he probably is like, well, I don't want my dad to die, but I kind of do want to be king eventually.
Well, that's my man. You know what his lot in life, right? He hasn't fulfilled his life yet.
Exactly. And not to get all royalty on people, but it's a weird thing because you feel like you've been sort of appointed by the heavens, if you will, right? Like that God touched you and said you're going to have this.
That's how it happened in the first place.
Right. So. Right. So did you feel like this is like my heavenly destiny, but in order to achieve it, I got to be like, Dad, if you could get out of here, that's how they got the throne. Right.
The good Lord blessed them and said, you guys are the royals.
Real quick. Are we in the is this country in the Kate like she like Diana? Like
cause
Diana
know.
Was like a whirlwind phenomenon. Are we like. Are the women like Gaga for what Kate is wearing or anything?
Or is she
I didn't even know they were in the country. So.
Is she too polite?
Yeah,
they're in Boston, hanging out in Boston, taking in the Boston sights and sounds.
Right.
And then
when they take
to the White House later, but
when they take the Royals, here's a great question: if you are Boston, if you are the Boston representative, and you meet the Royals at the airport, and you go. Hey, we'd like to take you around Boston. Do you go, and this is where we dumped T, and this is Bunker Hill.
I think you have to.
This is where Paul Revere saw the two lanterns.
And we lit them for you because the British are coming.
Exactly. And we lit them for you. And this is where John Hancock did this. And, like, do you do that? Because I would.
Yeah. Or do you take him to John Hancock's grave and go, you guys want to stomp all over it? I mean, there you go. You guys can go ahead. Here's your moment.
Like, do you just take them to Revolutionary War sites just to sort of remind them exactly where they are?
What else is there in Boston?
Do you go, hey, this is where we dumped the tea. Too soon? Sorry, I didn't. This right here is where... Where we did it.
Or do you do a slightly like, hey, do you guys want to go get a cup of tea? No, great place.
Yeah, exactly.
Right by the harbor.
I know a great place by the harbor. That's a great thing. That's what you should do if you're Boston. Right? All right, we're going to go long on this.
Yeah.
It's our
eventually,
fault,
but... eventually, you know, you do have to take them on a duck boat tour, right?
Oh, I guess, right?
Do you take them to the, you know, USS Constitution?
Yeah. That's another thing. Is take them on a tour of the USS Constitution. Exactly.
Yeah, these guys did some damage, didn't they?
It would be great if you did that.
This Good, the Bad, the Dumb is going to go long.
Okay, so we are going to do the rest of it coming up to the break
because we haven't even hit the bad or the dumb.
Right,
and the bad, you're going to go off on for a while.
Can't get enough of the Royals going to the Celtics game last night. By the way, I remember when I was in New England, there was a real quick story. So when I was in New Hampshire, I was covering, there was a period of time, a lot of people don't remember this, but there was a period of time where the Patriots were being sold And there was a thought. There really was a thought about them possibly moving to St. Louis. I know it wasn't a huge, huge deal, but there was a moment in the 90s where they wanted to get out of Foxborough. They were looking at Hartford. They were looking at, but there was a possibility they could go to St. Louis. And Robert Kraft ended up buying the team, and Victor Kiam owned the team, and James Orthwine owned the team, and whatnot. But there was this period of time, and I remember people. There was somebody had suggested that there was this plot of land in South Boston. And they said there's this area in South Boston where you could build the Patriots Stadium. Now, just to make it clear, nobody wants a stadium built near you. Stadiums are where is usually in where the land is cheaper. It's not in a good part of town. Nobody wants the hassle of a stadium with you. So I'll never forget a guy in the newsroom said, old news guy said, hey, they're not building a stadium in South Boston. And I said, why? He goes, look, those people dumped tea in the water because they didn't want to pay taxes for it. They're not putting a stadium in South Boston. And I was like, oh, that's very true. He goes, I was like, great point. Great point. And I never forgot that. So whenever somebody talks about where they would put a stadium, I always go, not there. They will not allow it there. All right. We'll continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1984, Throwback Thursday. Doug Flutie wins the Heisman on this date. Some good music today if you grew up in that era. A little Footloose for you.
No, we haven't had too many one-hit wonders, though.
No. In the 80s, had a bunch of them, but you're right. This probably period of time.
I mean, I'm
was
looking through them. 84 didn't really have a whole lot of one-hit wonders.
Yeah, this was probably a good time. This is when you were like, can I get the 10 albums for a penny?
Exactly.
And I'll buy six.
This is, you know, this is like every song you're seeing, you can remember this music video.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when music video, like that's MTV, right, was really at its height, was in 84.
Exactly. We're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb because we got on a Royals in Boston thing.
It's a royally pain.
Yeah. You told me that they chanted USA when they appeared
they
on the
did. Jumbo. I mean,
great job, Boston.
Yeah,
well done.
Do you expect anything less from Boston?
Well done.
Like we said, you know, the future king and queen were sitting courtside at the Celtics game, and they flashed their picture on the Jumbotron at TD Garden, and the whole crowd just broke out in USA chant.
Awesome. Yeah, because if there's one place that understands, you know, the history of British tyranny, it is the people of Boston. All right, so what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. I almost feel like I should skip this one.
All right.
Let's go to the dumb because
let's
I think
go to the dumb.
The bad. The bad deals with the Broncos. So, you know, okay. I know you're going to go off.
Okay. All right. So let's get the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day is Arizona State's Marcus Bagley has been suspended from the team.
Why?
Because he went on Twitter to explain why he hasn't been playing and owned up to him making a mistake. The reason why after a game against the University of Grand Canyon or something like that, or Northern Arizona, a smaller school in Arizona, he didn't go into detail of what he said, but he said something to head coach Bobby Hurley.
Bobby Hurley.
And Bobby Hurley took offense and pretty much benched him. And that's why he hadn't played in like the last two or three games. Bobby Hurley gave him some excuse like, you know, he's nagging injury, blah, 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 whatever. And he went on Twitter saying, no, guys, I'm perfectly healthy. I'm perfectly fine. I made a mistake. He owned up to what he was saying and blasted it all over social media, which ended up actually getting him officially suspended by the team.
So the team suspended him because he basically spilled some dirty laundry?
Yeah.
So he basically admitted, like, this is the real story because he contradicted his coach's real story?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. I would like that because I agree with Marvin Bagley. I agree with him as a fan. I could see Bobby Hurley's like upset and it's like, hey, I have a system here. I have a way of doing things.
Right.
Don't circumvent what I'm trying to do here.
You know, but I mean, what it does is that it takes the focus in that one direction. You don't, as a head coach, you don't want the focus to be on. You want the focus to be on the team.
Right.
You know, the X's and O's that are on the court. And now, you know, Bobby Hurley, the players are having to field questions, you know, and then it kind of dives into more about Bobby Hurley, like, you know, asking the players, hey, is he a good coach? What does he do in the locker room? You know, start prying into personal things other than just making it about basketball.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, it's a dumb on Marcus Bagley for coming forward, but at the same time, you know, Arizona State, Bobby Hurley, you guys can kind of get ahead of this a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Because, well, it depends on, did Marvin Bagley feel like he was defending himself for something that Bobby Hurley had said?
He was just being honest. He was letting everyone know that he's 100% healthy.
Oh, okay.
Because there were rumors circulating that, you know, the reason why he hasn't been playing is because he wasn't healthy.
Got it. Because that's what Bobby Hurley was giving to the media.
Right.
And then he comes out and says, no. And he goes, wait, dude.
This is why I'm sitting, is because I said something I shouldn't have to the coach. And, you know, I've got in trouble for that.
He felt he was coming out ahead. So this is similar to when your wife goes out of town and you give the kids ice cream for dinner. And then she comes back and you say, no, we had a very nutritious dinner last night of chicken and some beans and some, you know, vegetables. And the kids go, no, Dad, we had ice cream. And you're like,
don't you remember?
It's like, you're not seeing the big picture here, child. I'm trying to just let this go away.
Right.
Right?
That's the whole thing. Try to brush it under the rug.
Right. Exactly. Try to brush it under the rug. So Bobby Hurley was like, oh, yeah, he's hurt because he didn't want to get into details. And then, yeah, okay. All right. So now what's the bad of the day?
Because I know this one you'll like. Tom Pelissero. We know him, respected right? NFL journalist.
Journalist, yeah.
Is reporting that Nathaniel Hackett has not lost the locker room in Denver.
You got to be kidding.
But Russell Wilson has.
Okay, I'm buying that. Yes.
But Nathaniel Hackett hasn't either? No,
apparently
the players really do like Nathaniel Hackett. They like what he's... I mean, obviously he can't win on the field and he can't really coach. Makes too many mistakes. But they like him. You know, and he hasn't lost the locker room, but Russell Wilson has. And you can point to another thing that he recently had a big old birthday extravaganza, and I think it was less than half of his teammates showed up.
Okay, I saw this story. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I saw this story, and I've seen people criticize the story to say that people were reaching on this. But I think it's a legit thing.
Okay, I do too.
If Patrick Mahomes' wife was having a birthday celebration, I think every single Kansas City Chief player would attend.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, the same thing.
Unless they had a wedding to go to.
Like, I'm serious. This is unless they had a wedding to go to, of course, because you always go to the wedding. Always. But if you're a half glass, half full, half empty situation, right?
Yep.
Do you look at it as half the team showed up to his birthday party, or do you look at that half the team did not show up to his birthday party?
No, I mean, you're absolutely. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes said it, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, let's name, you know, Justin Herbert, name like some of the top quarterbacks in the league right now who, I mean, God, I'll even say Justin Fields. I think a lot more people show up to Justin Fields.
If she's bringing cake and food and stuff, you'd go, say happy birthday.
Zach Wilson might be the only untouchable. He might be in a similar situation.
Right. And so half of the team decided no. Are they getting sick and tired of showboat prima donna Russell Wilson?
It has to be, right? It has to be.
Right?
I mean, there's
Mr.
just.
Mr. Let's Ride.
And it's just too much.
And he absolutely doing zero. It's amazing, though, that Nathaniel Hackett has not lost the locker room either. You must be a real player's coach to not lose the locker room.
I can see him still getting fired at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Like, here's the deal. I could play for the Broncos. If I played for the Broncos, I could be like, man, I think Nathaniel Hackett's a good dude. I like him. He listens to me. I've gone to him with a couple of concerns. He hears me out. He's really easy to talk to. Really a guy that's working hard. Every time I see him, he's always in the office. He's always going over film. He's really trying hard. I could see it in the games, how intense he is, really, really trying to win us football games. But then if the owner goes, he's fired, I'd go, yeah, but that's the breaks. You know, I could be like that, where I go, I get it. Like, I wouldn't be mad. I would be like, yeah, you got to win in this league. We're not winning. But I could see where the players are like, he checks off all the boxes of things I want in a head coach, other than us winning games. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. There are people in the league that wouldn't play for Belichick in the heyday of the Patriots because they didn't like the way he coached, even if it meant possibly getting a Super Bowl ring. Not everybody was like, I'll go to New England. Like, there were plenty of people like, I'm not gonna be coached by that guy. But maybe they're like, this guy does everything I want.
Is this
guy, you know?
Now, I was thinking about this the other day. I think this will go down as the worst trade in history.
I think so, too. I think it has that potential.
But I think, you know, I think it's not just the worst trade in history. It's the fact that the Broncos overpaid before him setting foot on the field because they didn't have to pay him.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think if you go with the draft picks and the players, you know, Drew Locke, Noah Fant, a bunch of picks, you could go, in hindsight, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, but at the time that seemed like you didn't have a quarterback, you hadn't had a quarterback in a long time.
I don't think we was called the worst trade in history. It was like, God, you know, that one
just didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Right. You see, you gave up some capital, you made attempt, it didn't work out, but you tried. You tried to get a legitimate
Pro Bowl level
quarterback. You didn't have one. You tried everybody, and Russell Wilson was the better one on paper than anybody else you were bringing in.
But signing him to what it was a 5-year deal,
5-year extension during the day we did the Broncos preview. Brandon Cristall was like, and just before we came on, it was announced that he got a 5-year extension before he took one official snap with the team.
That's where this becomes the worst trade ever. That moment.
Because now it looks like...
Now you're tied to him.
You're not getting
You going to cut him?
Well, we said this at the time. You've got a division where Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr at the beginning of the season looked like the Raiders could do some stuff. So you needed to be bold. But you didn't need to be that bold. Like, it wasn't going anywhere. You're right. Like, it wasn't going anywhere. Like, you could see a year where you go, okay, guess what? We went 8-10.
Right.
And you know what? That's way better.
Well, I mean, hell, you could be right now.
8-9. And we went 8-9, and that was way better than we thought. So let's give them a year, and then we'll get another year and roll along with it.
What are they, 4-6, 4-7 right now?
Yeah, they're like,
I mean, you
3-8.
You know, you can evaluate right now. Like, okay, do we want to sign this guy? Is he the guy?
Yeah.
Because right now, it's no.
Right now, you are locked into that man for a while.